step 2 of 3, that is big data, big data for competitive advantage, advanced. So here also there are few aspects, so this will change as we move forward. First of all, advanced segmentation and data analytics. Big data is what? Big data is going deeper into various data that has been churned, that has been already obtained, but it is analyzed to unearth something which was unexpected. Uncover hidden pattern, unknown correlation. That will give you information which competition is not knowing. Now, understanding that if you develop something, you are getting edge over competition. Such information can provide competitive advantage, okay, and therefore results in business benefits, okay, such as more effective marketing, increased revenue. So you are able to do a better marketing because you understood certain things which competitor is not able to, from where customers prefer to buy. So that's what, suppose if you have found, okay, which offer is more useful to them. The use of big data becomes crucial, leading companies to outperform. So big data unreveals things, you know, which is not known. Now your development around that with the stakeholder, employee, will be not known to the customers till the time you introduce. So that's the power of big data. Big data for competitive advantage, this part, advanced segmentation and data analytics. So we are still understanding that only, the earlier slide versus this. All about data. Data will be leveraged for create data-driven strategies. Data-driven. You have a facts before you and then you are developing your strategies, okay. Then you are going for the innovations, okay. And you are then competing based on that and you are capturing value well because you have a data to support what is inferred out of the data. Many of this will become companies that sit in the middle of the large information flow. It's like companies always get, those companies have now unified their touch points with the digital stream of tools, etc., will constantly get data. Such knowledge then informs the creation of the new service offering and design your future products. You will be constantly coming out with new things, which that pace will be difficult for the competition to catch up with you. So that's the power of big data. Within that, the data analytics has become so critical. Okay, data analytics is the art of unearthing all information and give you certain predictability. Predictability also we have written here, predictive modeling. So based on that, based on your past 3 years, 5 years, say like this offer yielded what kind of a trend in the volume pickup. So now based on that, if you give that this year we want to do this kind of offer, analyze data. Data will be analyzed to tell you that this may be the outcome. So that's what predictive modeling. Big data can unlock significant value, okay, by making information transparent. It will create a meaningful outcome for you. Controlled experiments can be done, okay. You can do within certain environments, certain identified retailers, controlled experiments. Certain facets of your marketing will remain constant. Certain things will change. The offer may change, somewhere the price may change. You try to get the feel of it as to what is getting customers better attention. Big data allows segmentation of customers and therefore much more precisely tailor the product. Segmentation clarity is far more because data is able to give you finer aspects also of that personality. And therefore, you are able to create product and service that will be immediately liked by them. That's segmentation. Sophisticated analytics can substantially improve. Okay, substantially improve your decision making, minimize risk and unearth insight for future innovation, future decision making. So that's the power of data analytics. Further on that, big data can be used to develop the next generation of a product and services. So there is a lot of data which is telling you idea about what kind of improvements customer is expecting, what kind of problem they have mentioned for which you have a better solutions, etc. So then big data can help you to develop next generation product, because one is constant modification in the existing product. Second is to develop a next leap, next generation model. You come out much before customer can truly represent you what exactly you wanted, like Apple does it. Okay, so you have to be ahead of the curve. like everyone was talking about Walkman. Many companies have entered Walkman after Sony innovated. Apple decided that they will want to tap that market, but they will not do it in the same way. They came out with a very, very smart kind of a Walkman, you can say. But that's what is the power. Consumers can also reap highly significant benefits. Okay, smart routing using real-time traffic information, one of the most heavily used applications of personal location data, etc. You can, in the digital world, the real-time data provides you fantastic opportunity. You invest in something which is not working, you can immediately reroute it to the other channel, other, you know, social media, etc. So that you get a better traction to your communication and leverage it. So the third of it, which is under the protecting the core, is harnessing the power of digital as a part of integrated channel strategy. Now, that's in all simple term, world has become digitally connected. Okay. Lot of channels are available. Channels, when I say, under television also now there are plenty of channels. Under radio also there are plenty of FM and AM radios. So likewise, this channel is really proliferating. You know, they are vast. This thing is open. Companies must gain a comprehensive view of customers. So one side you have a plethora of channel. Other side, you must know the media habits, comprehensive view of customer, who they are, what they respond to, and how they prefer to communicate. So, besides media habits, know about him. What is his buying behavior? So, that you should know. Digital marketing applies technologies. So, digital marketing is just a technology. Yes, you leverage it for your advantage by taking it closer to the customers and making him engage with it. That is in your hand. Okay, website, email, etc. And even, you know, you can use social networks, etc. So, there is a power, say in the social network, people say you create communities so that people of like-mindedness come together. If you go to Nestle site and look at somewhere in the fag end, you will not be surprised. You should be surprised to see that more than 25 communities they have created. Expecting mother also. Can you believe? Nestle, when you say the Maggie generally comes. But expecting mother and, you know, health-conscious individuals and how Nestle is making difference in their life. So, that's the power of digital power, okay. So, harnessing that we continue to understand by harnessing the value of variable data. Variable data means data is constantly coming in. Marketers can develop highly targeted one-to-one communication, one-to-one with the customer. And you are able to know real pulse because data is real-time data. You are able to study what is happening on certain offers, certain communication that you made. Okay, you are able to track results of changes that you have made. So, impactful targeting is possible, but it requires two things. Gathering key customer data, channel preferences from prospective and current customers. So, to be effective digitally, you must gather data of the key customer. Data of what? Their channel preference. Which are the routes? Which are the sources? Channel, online, e-commerce or offline. Those things, you know, prospective customers, leveraging variable data to create customized and segmented communication. Available data and inference thereof should be able to help you tweak your communication, right communication for the right segment. Overall, your appeal, overall your positioning pursuit may be same, but might tweak, you know, certain tweak in terms of what you are saying, how you are saying, etc. also enables you to really connect well. Next is creating and executing true multi-channel campaign with consistency among print, web, mobile and social. Nothing but it tells you that you do this as an integrated marketing communication. So, this point remains same. Therefore, only these two are changing and effectively tracking the success of each channel on a real-time basis. So, that's the power of digital that you can harness. Okay. So, we get into now another section called customer-centric innovation. So, what is customer-centric innovation is all about? Now, when you say customer-centric innovation, it has to revolve around your customer. But what about that customer? Customer's need, which is today constantly evolving. Okay. So, the process starts with insights on customer needs within the goal of designing a new product or the service, okay, new product or service that delivers, that delivers on these needs in a way intuitive and accessible to customers. So many things have been said here, but it's like you have to be close to customers, touch the need part of it, do it in such a way that you design something new that delivers as expected by the customer in a very intuitive and accessible to customers. So it should be very, very in sync with the customer, and he is able to access it very easily. The genuinely leapfrog the competition, and you know, to genuinely leapfrog means go way ahead from the competition, generate a significant growth. A new culture of innovation is required. Only innovative company will be able to leapfrog. Otherwise, you will be just modifying the existing product and fight within the existing customers, along with a significant change in approach to strategic decision making. So, customer centricity innovation is all about getting closer, understanding the need, develop solutions that is very intuitive and accessible, and to be able to move ahead on your innovative capabilities and get the significant growth. Innovation should become a part of your organization's DNA. Okay, and that requires a lot of strategic decision making. So let's have a quick look at a customer-centric innovation framework. It starts with innovation as a center. So it's a must for any organizations. First is the strategy. You have to have a specific strategy in place, which is creating an alignment, and it meets with your organization to be customer-centric. Move on to innovation culture. Now, innovation cannot come unless there is a cultural shift. We'll study in the subsequent part, but it calls for a lot of interaction, cooperation with internal and external stakeholders. It requires open mindset, where you are constantly willing to understand and change, and you are able to manage failure very well. Then comes the process, and life cycle. So everything is now centered around customers. When you say customers, point is not to get new customers every time. Point is, how can you make these customers come to you again and again? So it requires a lifestyle, life cycle management, for which organization will have to have a approach and methodology in place, which customers you should consider for developing relationship, etc. Then comes the organizations. There is to be an organization to the madness of being customer centric, where structure and entire hierarchy has to be redefined. Innovation management becomes an integral part of the organization. And then for making that happen, there are many enabling factors. Then comes the leadership. It's the leader's responsibility. We will study this as we move forward. But they are the one who has to demonstrate commitment, and they have to then create a cooperation between various functions, and they have to drive the change. And then finally, the competencies that you require, which is subject matter expertise. You have to have process centricity. You have to have a competency towards change management, shift the culture, etc. So those are the things. So that's the innovation, customer-centric innovation framework. So essentially, in one of the earlier slides, I mentioned that it requires a cultural shift. Why cultural shift? Because it's not easy to be innovative and simultaneously customer-centric. It requires a lot of people commitment, a lot of interactiveness, lot open-mindedness, willingness to participate proactively. So all this requires a management of the innovation. So innovation management will come only if there is a cultural shift that takes place. Okay, so for that, it says that, you know, company must acknowledge that innovation is a process. So it starts with laying down a strong innovation process, making people involved. Okay, then get right set of people who have a skill to be innovation driven, and then see that result that is coming in. And the required change in culture must be driven from the top. So that top is responsible. So that is what I out here. Senior management must clearly instill and clearly communicate that there is a corporate strategy which is customer centric innovation that he is pursuing and everyone is supposed to contribute. But when you say supposed to contribute, there is also a message that everyone is supposed to get aligned. Collaborations and empowerment of employee is required. So he also drives that, how he makes cross-functional team, how he drives people, how he monitors that, how he reviews it and supports them. Companies face a choice between innovation and transformation. Both are distinctly different. Time-based minor modification, or so to say continuous improvement, only enables you with the transformation, but it doesn't enable you to be innovative. Innovation requires a significant shift in the mindsets, culture, etc. But a new breed of enterprise today, now the new breed is very, very innovation centric. They clearly understand that while you constantly drive innovation, transformation is a regular process. But to leapfrog, to move ahead, earlier said, from the competition, they have to involve and get innovation out of the people that he has. So innovation requires a senior support, develop a culture of innovation. Protecting in the core is all about getting the basics right. So this customer-centric innovation helps you to protect your core and becoming more customer-centric, where you adopt the leading practices that companies or other industries have demonstrated. So you are also open to absorb anything happening better elsewhere. Or there's an exercise called benchmarking, where not necessarily the same industry peer, you may go to the other industry to study how they are handling those aspects better than probably you, and then integrate that into your systems and process. Cultural shift and innovation, culture of innovation required largely depends on existing competency, and therefore the trap is you may become only catch up strategy. So innovation relies largely on existing competency. You are, while becoming a customer centric, while you are pursuing a customer centricity route, you only have an existing people to work with. And this existing competency may just help you to some extent, but not a great extent. So therefore, you require also new breed of people coming in. Only genuine customer-centric innovations that embedded into the organizations will produce significant growth and deliver a competitive advantage. So transformation may not, but real innovation will get you competitive advantage. Okay. So we discussed earlier the leadership. Okay, this particular section focuses on that, and in that about leadership through customer centricity. So this is leadership, how you become the leader in the field. And this is not about that individual leadership. This is the entire organization focus to become a leader. So there is a method in madness. So we will try to understand that. So from a service marketing perspective, service marketing has a different perspective than the product marketing. Several characteristics are needed for becoming the best in class worldwide service organizations. People recognize you for what you are across the world if you are present. Okay. So this requires how firm can be categorized into four performance levels. So first of all, you must self-introspect and classify your type of organization falls under which category. So that is what I will, which level. Then from the level where you are, how can you move up the ladder? Okay, and how can you move up the ladder? Okay, so this categories, the four categories that I mentioned are loser, non-entity, professionals and leader. So when you introspect, you may be here or you may be here. So then you have to work to become leader. Service leadership performance needs to be observed across multiple dimensions. So dimensions also. Dimension is internal dimension. For a overall blueprint of making your organization leader in the service or in the customer-centric world, essentially the marketing, operations and human resources functions are focused upon. So three dimensions, that is marketing, operation, human resource, and four categorization of the level of organization. You must know where you stand, whether you are a loser, whether you are a non-entity, insignificant player, professionals, you are recognized to be one in the game, and the leader is you are undisputed player in the top. So that, how does it happen? So I've given you that perspective. Under marketing perspective, you know, as a dimension, these are the four areas that has been evaluated. These are the four areas. What is the role marketing is playing? What is the role marketing is playing in losing a loser company, in non-entity, in professional or in leader? So that's the role of the marketing. Competitive appeal. What is it? What is their competitive appeal? So competitive appeal among loser, among non-entity. So how is the competitive appeal of the loser or the non-entity or the professional? Customer profile, what kind of customers go there among the loser to professional to leader, and service quality, the quality of the service that loser offers versus the non-entity offers versus professional's offer versus the leader offer. So likewise, in the role of function, operation, this thing, there is a role of operation, service delivery, that is the front end. How does the front end effectively do things? Backstage, so how is backstage supporting the front stage? Overall, the productivity, that is input vis-a-vis output ratio, and new tech introduction. Are you bringing in new tech? Operation is responsible for that. And human resource, how is that department is making the role of human, you know, in the making organization leader? Workforce, so entire thing to do with the workforce and the frontline management. So these are those three dimensions that I spoke about. And for categorization, organizations to determine where they are by studying this. Okay, and then once you know that, you also know what you need to do, because this will change for loser, this will change for non-entity, this will change for professional, and this will change for leader. You will see the wide difference on this parameter. Now, if the non-entity wants to become professional, then they will know what change they have to bring in. So just to give you an idea, I have taken only two, loser and leader, not taken the interim other two, that is non-entity and professional. And this is a marketing function. And I said earlier, marketing function, you have to, role of marketing, competitive appeal, customer profile, service qualities. I have taken, say, competitive appeal. Now, what is the competitive appeal of a loser? Customer prefer buying due to reasons other than the performance. So customer is coming to you for something else than the performance of you. So it may be the discount, it may be something more that they are getting, which they will not otherwise get, etc. And leader, known for service excellence, ability to delight customers in every interaction. So that's where. So if this loser has to become this, they will have to move towards this. Operation function, service delivery, front end, you know, operation function, service delivery, front end. I've given you the difference. Loser on front end, considered as business evil, location, physical evidence are unrelated with the customer. So here, service delivery, the front end job is considered as a business evil. Not only that, the location, nothing much attention been paid by operation in terms of location decisions or physical evidence and maintaining physical evidence. And so they are unrelated with the customers. Also, their customers do not see themselves, you know, what your brand stands for vis-a-vis the leader. Delivery is organized around the customer. Everything is organized to deliver around customer and his expectation. The process, they are more customer friendly. Who is served is known. They exactly know whom they are dealing with through real-time data. Okay. And continuous improvement. They do continuous improvement to see that how their engagement, how their delivery vis-a-vis the customers improve. So that's what, how one can make the organization from a loser to leader. So that's a leadership through customer centricity. So while doing so, I have clearly given you an idea that there are four categorizations. Your organization should know which one you are currently, that are loser, non-entity, professional or leader. Then three dimensions that is need to be looked at: marketing, operations and human resource. Under that, there are parameter, attributes, aspects, which you have to understand what it means. And then once you understand that, which is what this I have told you, you can plan your journey. So that's the way. So overall, yes, it continues to be a service marketing perspective. Leadership is acquired by being customer focused, customer centric, and driving entire organizations right from product development to product delivery and post delivery stages to not only meet the customer's expectation but exceed it. So entire drive of an organization is to not only meet expectation during pre-purchase, purchase encounter, and then the post-purchase, or a service encounter and the post-purchase, but exceed the expectations. So everyone, process, people are aligned to that. This cannot be mere motto. This is not possible by being only having it as a motto written everywhere on the wall. Okay, it has to be in the DNA of every employee. Okay, because employee is your front face. They are able to continuously provide same standard. They are able to deliver same service value. Okay, and as a result, their rapport with the customer will get stronger and customers will come back to you. Okay, and for that, you have to create some mechanism. So that is a rewarding the employee who is doing exceptionally well. Practical steps on the journey. So now we have finished how organizations can determine where they stand and then how to plot a journey towards being a leadership through a customer centricity approach. Now we get into step-by-step understanding of a journey to become a customer centric organization. First is define your target customers and their need. One most important thing about this customer centricity, etc., Ardi also has mentioned that you are not serving the masses, you are only serving the class. So you have to know who is your customer, whom are you going to target, and work with them for a long-term business. Generate customer engagement across the life cycle. This is vital to get loyalty. So now, one more thing in the customer centricity is that you are not serving every customer, you are serving select customers. Next is engagement. But engagement cannot be intermittent or ad hoc. It has to cover his lifestyle. So you need to know exactly which life state the person is. How can you create things for him so that he engages with the brand? Take a realistic look at the problem. Realistic look at the problem that a customer faces and then offer solution. Not the product plus service basket, etc. Solution which will remove the root cause. Not only customer gets enthralled because he got something as a solution, but he will never face that problem again because you have attended the root cause. What will it take to deliver what customers want at a price they want to pay and still make money? So in the final, this thing, the take is you are also supposed to make a money. So what it takes to deliver. So you have to work to ensure that you are capable, competent, equipped to deliver. Okay. What customers want, and then get the return price for that same. Next aspect, while understanding practical steps on the journey to become customer centric, is the involve. Involve is suggest, which is that you have to involve very important stakeholder. One of them is that distributor, you know. So distributor have a strong connect with the ground reality. So have a involvement of a distributor and build a strong partnership in such a way that journey to customer centricity will become easy because they will give you a lot of feedback. Okay. They know the pulse of the market, they know the changing preferences, etc. Okay, so therefore, they should become a guide, you know, along the way. They should give you a lot of insights. Learn to be adaptive because things are changing. So it's your ability to be adaptive, which is very important. To be adaptive, you have to have a mindset of learning. So that will enable you to pull in the required insight of the customers to immediately get into the prototype mode. Prototype mode will enable you to do what? Test. Okay. Test, get the feedback, make modification, launch it, again change are happening. So do a next prototype. So prototype, test, customer feedback, final launch, prototype, test, customer feedback. And for that, the learning, adaptiveness, the base is learning. So you have to be open to learn. Then start. Start is what? Start to build a culture. Because culture, as I earlier also mentioned, culture is the foundation of a successful customer-centric organization. And at the center, what, when you become customer-centric and you have the culture of customer-centricity in you, what happens? You have to realign the objective, targets, rewards, and recognition with the customer need. So cultural shift has to be keeping the need in mind. And need, when you keep that in mind, you may have to realign your objective, targets, your reward systems, etc., your recognitions, and the way you recognize things. And the focus, last but not the least, focuses should be on some key levers. You cannot change everything overnight. There are levers to change. So constantly identify those levers that will help you to change for or change towards making you customer centric. And then drive that lever and then build a momentum throughout the organizations. Everyone should get involved. That's a role that the leader has to play. So we understood various practical steps in becoming customer centric. So this is last of it. With this chapter is over. Thank you very much.